Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say, always happy to say greetings in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I are so glad that you've decided to tune in and to join with us today in this time of worship and time of considering the Word of God, and we really trust that our time together will be a blessing. Pray that it'll bring glory to God, and pray that you'll say, well, my, I'm glad I turned over there and listened to that old country preacher today. If you got your Bible, you want to read along with us, I've opened my Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37, the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. And I'm going to look at a verse, a very beautiful verse of Scripture. I think, the other morning, bless God, God just stirred my heart with it. I mean to tell you, fired me up. I wept and everything else. And well, I hope it's somewhat of a blessing like that to you. That is my desire, and that is my intention, friend, to be a blessing to you. I could get to meet with some of you all here on the radio from time to time that I never get to meet down here on the footstool of God, but all, like the song says, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there when we gather home, when all of God's children get home. Now, I know we sing from time to time when we all get to heaven. Well, everybody ain't going. I'm just going to be country and simple. Everybody ain't going to get to heaven. Do you hear me? Everybody can. In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, here's one of my pieces of philosophy. In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, friend, and dying for sinners, there's no reason in this world for any man, woman, boy, or girl to be lost, and yet multitudes are. It's not God's will that any should perish. God won't infringe His will upon men unless men will to be saved. God will never save them against their will, regardless of what hyper-Calvinists say. Well, I'll tell you, friend, I love the Word of God rightly divided, and I trust our time together will be a blessing. Here's Debbie with the song now, the title, well, it's her lead song in one of her projects, We Love You. The title of it is, Oh, What an Honor. And I'm telling you, friend, it is an honor to serve the Lord. If you're not serving Him, why don't you start today? Start right. Hey, even start before I preach. You'll enjoy it better.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Then I heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary. It all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice, and one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. Hallelujah, just praising His name. and the King. Oh, what an honor. Oh, what an honor.
Well, thank you, Bubba. I'm telling you, what, isn't that beautiful? Isn't it an honor to serve the Lord? Oh, listen. Listen, friend, it is an honor. Not very many people would turn down an invitation to work at the White House. I don't care who's in the administration. I don't care who's sitting in that grand house, the United States of America. Not many people would turn down the opportunity to work in the White House for the president. And I'll tell you, friend, it's even greater honor. I'm about to get happy right now. It's an even greater honor to be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who spoke this world into existence long ago, the one, friend, who manifested himself in the Word of God, the one who manifested himself in the living Word of God. I'll tell you, friend, listen, hallelujah, I'm thankful, thank God, that I'm in service for the King of the Book. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 37, I'm just going to read verse 17 for our text and then share a little bit about the context of this passage of Scripture, and then preach the message. I'll try my best that God has laid on my heart. Try my best to preach that message. Well, there was a king by the name of Zedekiah. And let me just give you the background before I read this text passage for this message. Zedekiah was king of Jerusalem at that time, and all they were in trouble. Do you know that? I mean to tell you, they hadn't received the Word of God. The Bible says this in verse 2 of that same chapter, but neither he nor his servant nor the people of the land did hearken unto the Word of the Lord that he spake by Jeremiah or by the prophet Jeremiah. Zedekiah was king, and man, things were bad. I'm telling you, things were bad. The northern part of Israel had already gone into a Syrian captivity. And I'll tell you, the southern part, Judah and Benjamin, those two tribes that made up Judah down in the south were nearing going under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Ah, friend, listen, it was not a good time. It was not a good time, not only for the people of God because of their sin, because of their iniquity, because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience to the Word of God. And by the way, doesn't that sound like America in our day presently? Boy, it was bad on the man of God. Isn't that the way it is? That man, one voice among a multitude, who loved his people, who loved the city of Jerusalem, who loved the God of Israel. He was telling the truth. He was warning what was going to happen. He was telling what God had told him. And Zedekiah came to him. He had him put into prison. And Zedekiah said, "Well, look, I can talk to Jeremiah now, and it won't be suspect. I mean, I'll do it clandestinely. Listen to me, friend. Listen, sir, ma'am, I'm telling you, if you need a word from the Lord, you don't need to be secret about it. You ought to seek out a man of God who knows the Word of God and can tell you about the God of the Word." Old Zedekiah got Jeremiah in, and listen to what he said in verse 17. "Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out," meaning out of the prison, "and the king asked him secretly in the house and said, 'Is there any word from the Lord?' And Jeremiah, thank God, said, 'There is.'" Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. Now, Jeremiah goes on to tell King Zedekiah what's going to happen. Although that the Egyptians came up initially and scared off the Chaldeans, and they went back north and then south, God said, "I'm going to tell you something, Zedekiah. Though those men be wounded, about half dead, Jerusalem's going to be overtaken by them." Oh, listen, friend, we need a word from the Lord, don't we? We need a word from God Almighty in this day. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, I don't care who occupies the White House. I don't care what his affiliation is with whatever party. And I prefer one above the other. I don't know about you. I've got my convictions. I've got my preferences. I've got my wants. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Our help will come from man. The Bible said, cursed is the man that putteth his trust in man. I'm telling you, our help's got to come from the Lord. Now, I believe government is a gift from God. I believe it's something that God has established for man. But I'm telling you, friend, our problem in America goes deeper than a political affiliation. It goes deeper than something man can provide, a socialistic program about, oh, friend, listen, we need something done on the inside, not something done on the outside. We need an inside work, friend. That'll change us. That'll change us, bless God, into something like that we've never been, into something like God has a plan for us to become, into something like His Son. Well, preacher, what's the word? Well, thank God there is. There is a word from the Lord. You say, what is it, preacher? Well, number one, thank God it's a powerful word. Don't you like that? Man, I do. I wouldn't expect anything less from a God that is all-powerful and that is almighty and that possesses all power in heaven and in earth. You say, how powerful is it, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what it's powerful enough to do. It's powerful enough to change a man's mind. It's powerful enough to change a man's heart. It's powerful enough to change a man's destiny. It's powerful enough to change a man's home. It's powerful enough to change a man's want. I'm telling you, friend, it's a powerful word. Thank God. Once have I heard this, yea, twice, that power belongeth unto the Lord. There was a night that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, just hours away from the time that He would be crucified on an old rugged cross. There was a group of men led by Judas Iscariot that came to Him from the Sanhedrin, and Jesus was there. Judas Iscariot came up and said, Master, and kissed Him on the cheek. You know what Jesus said? Whom seek ye, if I remember right? And they fell down backwards. I mean to tell you, His word is powerful. There was a day that He was asleep in a boat that was on the Sea of Galilee with His head on a pillow. And they were in a mighty storm, and they awakened Him, His disciples, His apostles, and said, carest thou not that we perish? You know what He did? He stood up and said to the winds and the wave, peace, be still. He told dead men and women to raise, and they did. I'm telling you, friend, listen. Bless God, there's power in the Word of God. He said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, He said, for the Word of God is quick, meaning that it is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I thank God. I'll tell you, there's no word like the Word of God. There was time in John chapter 7. When they were seeking to take Jesus captive, they knew He would probably come to the feast, and the Sanhedrin had their soldiers ready for them. They said, now look, the officers did to their soldiers, when He comes, you take Him. You go and take Him. Well, when He came, He began to talk. He began to preach. He began to say, hey, if you're thirsty, I'll give you drink, bless God, from which you'll never thirst again. Whoa, when He began to teach, everybody began to listen. It's kind of like that song, when He speaks, the bird hushes their singing. Do you know why? Those men that went away, went to take Him captive, bless God, went back to those that sent them captive of Him. When they got back to report to their superiors, they said, what's going on, boys? Where's He at? Why didn't you take Him? Bless God, they had been taken taken by Him. They said, never a man spake. I like this man. In Matthew chapter 5, verses, or chapters 5, 6, and 7, you'll find in verse 29 of chapter 7, after Jesus, bless God, as a king would, address His subjects over which He was king of a kingdom. Do you know what the Bible says about Him? Listen, He spoke not as of the scribes and the Pharisees, but as one who had authority. I'm telling you, the Word of God is powerful. It's pointed. It's penetrating. Thank God for the Word of God. It's not only that. Is there a word of Jeremiah from the Lord? And Jeremiah said it is, and he said it's a perfect word. Thank God. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, James began to talk and say, listen, we ought to look into the perfect law of liberty. When David was writing Psalm 19, he said this. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When the writer of Psalm 12, and it was David, said something else about the Word of God, listen to what he said. He said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, now watch this, shall preserve them from this generation forever. I'll get to the preserved Word of God next. But I want you to know that the Word of God is a perfect Word from the Lord. Zedekiah said, Jeremiah, is there a Word from the Lord? Jeremiah said, it's a powerful Word. It's a perfect Word. You say, preacher, do we have the Word of God today? I want you to know, friend, I hold in my hand a perfect preserved copy of the Word of God. Do you know that? Or you say, you're crazy, preacher. I may be, but thank God I'm convinced that I'm right. The Bible said in the book of 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm telling you, friend, when I look into this Bible, from time to time when you hear me preach or others hear me preach, I want you and them to know I believe I'm using the Word of God. I don't have to guess at it. I don't wonder what's inspired and what isn't. I've got a Bible that says all Scripture is inspired. My Bible doesn't say all Scripture that is inspired. My Bible said all Scripture is inspired. I believe it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and 21. I believe that it was Josh Scarberry. I got a little boy. Got a little handsome boy by the name of Micah. And they're trying to plant Scripture in his heart. And the other day I had the privilege of hearing Micah quote at the beginning of Proverbs 30 and 5. And it says this, every word of God is pure. Hallelujah. What wisdom does Josh and Courtney have of teaching their little man that the Word of God is perfect. I'm telling you, friend, it's inerrant. I'm telling you, this is a critical issue. If the Word of God is wrong in one point, I'll tell you it's wrong in all. I mean, if it's wrong in any part of Jesus and what He did to bring salvation, hey, what part's wrong? If the Holy Spirit is wrong in the ministry that He has done, what the Word of God says about Him, I'm telling you, it's all wrong. But I don't know about you, but I believe this King James Bible, bless God, went through the furnace seven times. Bless God, listen, I know it's a version. I know that it is, quote, a translation, unquote. But I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's perfect. I believe it's pure. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's preserved. I'm telling you, friend, listen, if God can't keep His Word, He can't keep me and you. When Jesus was on earth, He had no original autographs. He had no original copies of the words of Moses, Jeremiah, David, or Isaiah. But I'm telling you, He quoted, bless God, from that Greek Septuagint, just like He believed it. He talked about Noah. He talked about Adam and Eve. He talked about Jonah and others too. Just like he believed the account of the Word of God. Well, I want you to know I believe that we've got the perfect, powerful, pure, preserved Word of God in this King James Bible. God breathed it all. I believe in the full or the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scripture. I believe all the words. I believe all the words of the Bible are inspired. Not even a jot or tittle is out of place. If you think the wrong, buddy, let me tell you something. Then you're wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, they accurately record truth of all events and places, times, historically, scientifically, prophetically. I believe they're precise. There's never been a shovel of dirt that archaeologists have turned over to prove it or me wrong. I'm telling you, friend, inspiration guarantees the veracity of what we find in the Word of God. It's truthfulness. It's totally accurate. And I want you to know, friend, it doesn't matter who wrote it, when it was written. Bless God, what was said or done. I want you to know God overshadowed, oversaw, superintended, and ensured. That's what's in that book. Is, bless God, real. It's perfect. It's perfect in its message. Written over 1,500 years by at least 40 to 45 men that we know. Most of them were Jews. Maybe one was not. And yet you'll not find any contradictions in it. Although some men think there is, there are no errors. There are no problems. There are no contradictions. Bless God, if there's an error anywhere, it's in the man who thinks there is. It's people like Ingersoll that said the Bible will be in the grave within 15 years. Well, the Bible is still alive. Hallelujah. And Ingersoll was dead in 15 years of that statement. It was like Voltaire that said this. In 100 years, there'll not be a Bible on earth. Well, Voltaire's dead, and the Bible, the Word of God, is still the number one bestseller of all time of all books. I'm here to tell you, God didn't preserve Voltaire, but he preserved his word and the very house that Voltaire lived in. The British Bible Society bought it, and you know what? They published the first book they published in that book. It was a copy of the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's perfect. It's preserved. Thank God, just like God intended for it to be. A man has tried to destroy it. He's tried to burn it. He's tried to bury it. He's tried to deny it. He's tried to change it. But forever, O Lord, is thy word have settled in heaven. Thank God. I'm telling you, it lives. It thrives. It's still God's word. It was, it is, and it always shall be. And let me tell you in closing some of the things that it teaches about. Oh, listen, friend, I'm about to have myself a fit. Do you know that? Thank God. I want you to know something. This Word of God is real. You know what? It's not only powerful. It's not only perfect. It's not only preserved. But I'll tell you, it's a book of promise. Do you know that? It's a word of promise. Thank God. It has a promise of salvation. It says, whosoever will, let him come. You can be saved today, sir. You can be saved. If you're a backslider, you can return. Bless God, you can live with assurance of your salvation. You'll be sealed with the Spirit of God. You can know, hallelujah, I'm that peace of God that passes understanding. I'm here to tell you, bless God, it's a word of promise, a promise of deliverance. I don't care what addiction you're under. I don't care what satanic influence not just satanic opposition, but possession. You may be experiencing. God will deliver you. I'm telling you, where sin abounds, the Bible promises that grace doth much more abound. Thank God, He's all we need. He's got all that we need, and He is all that we need. I'm telling you, it's for your good. He leaves nothing else when He saves. Do you hear? He leaves nothing out. I'm telling you, it's a book. It's a word of promise. Thank God. It's a promise of salvation, a promise of deliverance, a promise of restoration. David said in Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. Maybe you're out of the way. Maybe you're off the way. Maybe you're just sitting in the way. Hey, I'm telling you, God will pick you up. He'll clean you up. He'll dress you up. He'll fill you up. He'll move you up if you'll just come to Him today and say, God, I need something. Oh, God, I need a touch. He's got mercy. I'm telling you, God is rich in mercy. I'm telling you, sir, ma'am, right now, if you'll come to Him, you'll find out that this Word of God is powerful. This Word of God is perfect. This Word of God is preserved. This Word of God is available. It's filled with promises for sinners like me and you. And I'm telling you today, it'll make you new. It'll make you clean. It'll make you whole. Well, until the next time, may God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.